It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 678. This is the last Mike Tech Show of 2018. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial, and you can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. It is the end of the year, 2018, and tonight's show, I want to reflect back on three areas of 2018 and the same three categories, areas for looking ahead and 2019 and New Year's resolution in all three of these categories. And the three categories are podcasting, MHS consulting, and technology. And I'm putting my personal twist on all of these just to review 2018 for me. The year started with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, and that was phenomenal. And it impacts my business. And I think in April, we did a Tech Vets, and I actually talked about how that impacts the business with the parade and not being able to get to clients because of streets blocked off and things. So it was a little bit of a challenge and a little fun. Took care of handling the Eagles winning and certainly celebrating, and that was fun. And then Villanova won the NCAA championship right after that. Very cool. Did a little traveling early in the year, March. I was able to get down to spring training, couple games. Took my wife down to Florida. Actually did a show with Steve Cherubino and Marvin B., which was a lot of fun. Posted that show up. April was good. We did a Tech Vets, got a lot of things done, started looking great for the upcoming year. And then the beginning of May, my son Ryan and I went to Atlanta, Georgia for the Shaky Knees Festival, which I had a tremendous time at the festival. But before the festival, that's where I broke my foot. And you've heard enough about that, but that was a defining moment for the rest of my year, and I'm still dealing with it. It really impacted my business. It prevented me from doing everything that I wanted to do. It delayed me. I can't tell you how many shows I've canceled for the Mike Tech Show because of being in pain or doctor's appointments or different things that I was going through, and it was just too much to be able to do a show. So I think I did fewer podcasts in 2018 than I've ever done my entire life. And I do regret that. And it's something I hope changes for that I'm going to work very hard on 2019. It really impacted my life and my schedule and things I couldn't do anymore. I love going to concerts and sporting events, and I couldn't do that. I wanted to visit more clients, and I couldn't. I just physically could not do it. So that really impacted podcasting and my business, MHS Consulting, for the rest of the year. And now I'm still dealing with it, and it's going to get worse the beginning of 2019. Dealing with that, there were a lot of challenges and lots of issues. Having to bend and shape my business to accommodate that, doing more remote, doing more where I would send my son maybe a little bit in over his head on some situations, but I was there remotely to guide him. He was my hands, ears, and eyes on site for a few clients. I'm pausing for a second because the rain is coming down really heavy. I can hear it here as I record this 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time on New Year's Eve. One of the things I had to deal with is getting support to the clients that needed it. But I dropped the ball on some things. And this is where, as we go to 2019, some of my goals, I want to make sure I'm doing more podcasts on a regular basis, weekly. I'm absolutely going to work very hard, but I'm already going to start the year behind because I can't do any shows for the next few weeks because I'm having surgery on January 9th. That's going to put me under for certainly the 10th, certainly the 17th. I'm hoping the following week I'm going to be back and be able to be in front of the computer here. But I'm going to be bedridden, which is kind of interesting, and things I've positioned myself to operate from my bed. I got a new laptop tray that can tilt, that's got a ledge on it so things won't fall, a pouch that can go inside between the mattress and the box springs and hang, and it's a pocket for things I can put. I got a new surge strip that we're going to run, and all this stuff's coming in this week, that I'm going to be able to plug in. It's got two USB chargers and then six other ports that I can have my iPad, my iPhone, my laptop, a USB light that clips onto the tray so I can have some good light. I'm trying to think what you call it, where it's got side arms and a padding that helps you sit up in bed that I can put behind me. So all these things I'm getting ready for being able to operate just from my bed because I am not allowed to walk. So I'm making all these changes. My son and I, we've worked out what he's going to be doing. As a matter of fact, I made a smart decision for the first couple days. No matter how I feel, I'm going to want to get on my phone. I'm giving my phone to my son to answer and respond. So I'm not even tempted for the first couple days for the surgery. What they're doing, they're inserting a screw into my left foot. With all that, and I've been having lots of setbacks and lots of issues during the year, which caused lots of complications. And there were lots of things that were happening that delayed the surgery. And now we're able to do the surgery, and let's just keep my fingers crossed that everything goes okay. But one of the things that happened to me, I didn't follow up enough on new quotes where I didn't hear back from the client. And I never followed up like, hey, did you get it? I did a very bad job at following up on new business opportunities. Now, there were some business opportunities, and I talked about that in the podcast, of like the email migration with a new client, CPA firm, a whole bunch of different businesses, electrician and his office, a couple new attorneys. I did get some new business, not all of them retainers, just one off, sort of more like break fix or a project. And I want to turn more of that into retainer business for 2019. I have to follow up more. I have to make time for tech vets. Everybody wants that. Everybody really enjoys Carrie and I and our take on things. And we have too long of a gap between recording. So I'm going to work very, and that's my fault, by the way, for not recording. I'm going to work very hard at trying to do a tech vets. Even maybe the week I miss a Mike Tech show, maybe that's where I buckle down and get a tech vets done with Carrie. So I'm going to try very, very hard to do more shows. I want to work hard on cultivating new business after my foot is repaired. I want to automate more for the business. I've already begun the process of automating the invoicing and bookkeeping. That has already begun. And I'm hitting the ground running for the new year in January. And I know that's going to make a big difference in getting payments much quicker back to my bank account, more automated, less work within QuickBooks because the entries will already be there, which means spend less time in generating the invoices. Dexter in the chat. Great question. Define a retainer customer. It is simply a customer that is on contract that pays a monthly bill, which I bill quarterly. So for 3 months, they pay me for X amount of agreed hours of support. If we go under, I will roll over unused hours. So it's really hourly, but committing to an amount of hours. It does two things. One, it balances income to me where you don't have the dips, the valleys, and the peaks. It basically flattens that a little bit, guaranteeing income. It also flattens IT expenses for the client. One of the things that they want is they will pay me upfront for an amount of hours that if they don't use them all, we will start collecting them. And when something does go wrong or it's big, they've already paid for it. So they're not going to get a huge bill unless there's surprise work or a big project that comes up. And then they know they're going to get invoiced more. Now, Tom did a great job here. He actually put the definition. The act of a client by which the services of a lawyer, counselor, or advisor are engaged. A fee paid to a lawyer or professional advisor for advice or services or for a claim on services when needed. So to extrapolate that for me, it's for IT services that I'm going to perform that we agree upon a scope of work in the initial contract. And I put some great things at the bottom there in the contract that state as other projects at work as needed. So what I'm basically reviewing in the scope of work is I'm going to monitor backups, going to do regular maintenance and checking, making sure antiviruses are updated, anti-malware is updated, doing scanning for hardware issues and problems, and doing that once a quarter. So that's the goal, to be proactive with their systems and their server so we can avoid problems. Uncle Al, great question in the chat. Do you charge the same hourly rate for clients on retainer? No, they get a discount. My break fix rate is 25% higher than the retainer rate. So one of the things that you guarantee is you lock in on a better price. That's, I hope Dexter answers what a retainer. Great question. And I want to obtain more of them. Obviously, the goal, to have as many as we can have. But I really could use 4 or 5 more big retainers to help fund automation. I want to get into an RMM. I want to automate the maintenance that I'm currently doing. We are spending way too much time manually doing maintenance on systems. I need to automate updates of all the software and the cleaning, running the different programs for scanning for additional malware. There's lots of software products that we want to use and scripting that and automating that. I know I want a ticketing system. I know repair shop are out there, but I just don't want to commit to the monthly expense right now until I know I can afford it. Because one of the things in 2017, I lost a couple big clients, not to anything I was doing wrong, but one client was purchased by another client, by another company. Another client retired. They just disbanded. And then another client just cut back on their expenses. So I lost 3 big retainer clients. And then at the same time, I lost my Amazon affiliate. That was a huge hit to me. Lots of things hit the bottom line that will not let me be able to spend and put back into the business like I've been able to do years ago to be able to buy more software products and services to help support the business. So I haven't been able to have money to do that. So that's a goal for 2019. And of course, along the way, I will keep you posted as I endeavor upon all these different programs. A question on the latest tech vets, you talked about having set pricing for X systems. Have you come up with a set of pricing based on machines? Yes, I have actually. I like to make at least a couple hundred on either it's a new system or a refurbished system. Sometimes I can get a little more. Sometimes it's a little less. It depends on the client. I have a couple sources where I get very good, excellent condition Dell Optiplexes. They come with a mechanical drive, but they also come with a Windows 10 Pro license, and they come with 8 gigs of RAM and minimum Core i5 processor, and I really like the 7010. It's an older type system, but once you put a solid state drive in, a fresh Windows 10, it's flying. And I have clients, we just finished one today that my son will be delivering this week and setting it up, actually for a local church that's a client. And then I have two more coming in that'll be delivered on Thursday, and my son will get them configured and tested and running on Friday, and I'll have two more systems because I actually have a client that I know, based on the maintenance we just did this past weekend, there's going to be two systems that need to be replaced, and I'm going to discuss that with them actually this Wednesday and then plan for next week. While I'm going through the surgery, my son can be on site and setting them up. Do I have a fixed price? It depends on what I pay, and then it depends on, I got to be able to make some money. If I can't make any money, it's just not worth the effort because I got to pay my son for configuring it and his time. I'm looking for trying to get a system that's a couple hundred, put some work into it, add a couple hundred more, and then sell it. I get laptops. Sometimes opportunities come up where I can get a laptop at a good price, reconfigure it, and then sell it. So now, a wish that I have for 2019. Can Microsoft please, pretty please, do more testing before you release the updates, before you release those hot fixes and the upgrades to Windows 10? There's not enough testing to the software companies out there for when you release an update, test in your lab, test outside the lab, because the amount of work that I and my company have to go through in supporting it, it's horrible. And it makes for a bad reputation for your product. That I want to see more change control within these big companies, Microsoft, Apple. I could go on and on. And they need a better change control process. Maybe the person in charge of the change control needs to be fired. They need to be terminated, and you get someone that has the experience, that has the proper management skills to shepherd upgrades and changes before they are pushed out to the public. This is what has to happen. I wish for this every year, and it doesn't happen because it's all about the bottom line. Who cares? Let the end user be the guinea pig, and we're the guinea pigs, and our clients are the guinea pigs. That's a problem. That's a real problem. I think in the long term, it's bad business for that company, because what will happen is they will, in the long term, lose, and people will replace your product with other products and products that you don't have to have that problem. That Dexter's a great comment. Sales and marketing have taken over QC. Yes. Yes, that is exactly. My biggest client is a manufacturer, and I am so proud of the QC department and what they go through on the materials coming in and the QC that is going through, and then along the whole manufacturing process, all of the detail, the testing, the retesting, and the QC that happens before that gets wrapped, packed, and shipped. I'm so proud of my biggest client seeing that and helping in a small part, me helping automate that documenting of that and how it goes through their internal systems and the workflow between engineering, quality control, and sales for communication to the client or to purchasing for the vendor. This is very important to the success of a business. And if companies lose sight, and I think Microsoft has lost their way, I think Apple has lost their way in this. They need to address this because it's not going to last forever. Right now, you may be dominant, you may be on top, but people are going to change. Clients can only deal with so much. Right now, when you have a monopoly like that, I know they don't call it a monopoly because they have competition, but let's pick companies like, oh, I don't know, an antivirus company. Well, there's a lot of competition out there. So you got to be careful. To wrap this up, that's my biggest wish, is that companies will take a look at their internal processes and help themselves be better at their QC, at their testing, before it is pushed out to the public. Because we're chasing our tails and working very, very hard. And I have to spin things, and I'm just so tired of blaming Microsoft for everything, although they are the root cause most of the time. That's my biggest beef yet wish, again, because I believe I had the same wish last year, and I will continue to wish for this. It's a dream that I hope someday will get fulfilled, and I'll see an answer to this dream. I hope that is it for the last Mike Tech Show of 2018. As I discussed, I'm not going to be able to record anything until later in January as my foot starts to heal and I'm given permission to be allowed to be able to come back down to where I record. I'm hoping that I'm only going to miss a couple shows. Let's hope I get back as soon as possible. And I want to thank everybody for all of your great support throughout the year. The best way to show your support is the Amazon link in the show notes. You click on that. That supports Carrie Holzman and myself and both our efforts in producing content for you. It is so important to help us. And this is the best way you can easily, you're going to buy from Amazon anyway. Why not click on that link? And during that session, we get everything you buy. We get a commission and your price stays the same. That's the best way. Also, our sponsor, Instant House Call, God bless them, because that's going to save me while I'm stuck in bed working. I am going to rely on that. That is just a mainstay for my business and being able to remote into my clients. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro. Can't live without it. That program we use all the time for all of our clients. I want to thank you. Showing your support, downloading and staying subscribed to the show. I want to wish everybody a happy, safe, and prosperous new year. Have a great 2019. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.